Hey everyone, welcome to the Sports in the Mitten podcast powered by Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor. I'm your host, Adam Biggers, Michigan and Michigan State beat writer for FanRag Sports. And of course, lately it has been all Michigan football. And I guess I should say this, it's more Michigan State basketball beat writer. I don't really do a ton of Michigan State football. So during the fall, I'm 99.9% Michigan football. But during basketball season, I do split coverage between those two teams. So anyway, I figured I'd get that out there. It is Friday, August 11th, about 2:30 in the afternoon. Podcasts have been going great. I want to thank everybody for tuning into the live streams here on YouTube. I want to thank everyone for listening to our new channel, FanRag Sports Blog Talk Radio. You can catch us on Sports in the Mitten. Search us on Facebook, Sports in the Mitten. Give us a like. Follow us on Twitter, at Mitten Sports MI. Follow me on Twitter, at AdamBiggers81. And of course, read all my stuff on FanRag Sports, FanRagSports.com, at FanRag underscore U, and at FanRag Sports. So now all the plugs are out of the way. We can get today's show. Basically, I had a request of going over recruiting, and a lot of the recruiting stuff, I'll say I do follow a lot of the recruiting, but in terms of the day-to-day, that, you know, all that stuff, Steve Lorenz at 247, Tom Van Herren, I know the Michigan man Ray Reeves, those guys, you know, have pretty good connections with recruits. I do talk to recruits every now and then. I do have some good connections with those, but as far as like the day-to-day expertise, those are definitely the guys who probably have a little bit more knowledge than I do. So when I go over the recruiting stuff, I will, you know, cite where I get the information. 247 does a great job over there, so you know, we'll go, I'll answer them as best as I can. I'm not going to say that I know every single aspect about Michigan recruiting and, you know, is this kid going to flip and, you know, all that stuff. I can tell you what I've heard and what I've heard from those credible sources. Also, I want to go over some questions. And Kennedy, Cameron, talk about hint and commitment. Kennedy, I'll get into that in a second. Let me go through this intro real quick. A lot of questions from Twitter. Great discussion points. So hopefully it's not an hour-long show today. I do not have the time for an hour-long show today, but we're going to get right to it. So I'm going to start with the from GoBlue519 at CGSmith17 on Twitter. Said, Michigan missed out on JT Daniels in the 2019 class. Are they in contention for any other blue-chip quarterback prospects in the 2019 class? And yes, I'll say this, Go Blue, and again, I'm referencing 247. They do a pretty good job as far as tracking what the recruits are going, you know, all that action. As far as I know, you know, I've asked around. I don't think Michigan's really in play for a 2019 quarterback at this moment. I mean, you have to remember, they have Joe Milton, 2018. There's going to be Dylan McCaffrey's coming up. Brandon Peters is going to have his turn, too. I think Brandon or Joe, I like both of those guys, but I think Brandon's probably the guy who's next. So as far as the 2019 class, according to 247 Sports, Michigan doesn't have a quarterback among its top targets and not even among like the high interest. So according to that information, CG Smith, I would have to say no. Justin Green wants to know, at Hail Hail Mish 16, Justin will tweet you photos from Tigers games to make you jealous. He will also ask really good questions for the podcast. And actually, I'm doing this, the recruiting stuff, because Justin actually requested it. So if you guys have any special requests for show topics, again, this podcast is pretty much centered around your guys' questions. I'll reference things that I write in interviews and so on and so forth, but I'll go through your guys' stuff. MIC Brooke, is Michigan 2019 class going to be as explosive as 1998 class was, in your opinion? Whoa! MIC Brooke, that is a loaded question for the ages right now. They have four commitments in that class. Number one in the Big Ten right now. Number five nationally. But basically, I'll go with that, and I'll play off with Justin wanting to know about him. Is he defensive line or offensive line? It's early. That's what I'm hearing. And I mean, when they offer these kids, Justin, I mean, they're looking probably, you know, not every guy, if he plays primarily defensive line in high school, not every guy, once he gets to college, is going to play defensive line. I mean, you see position swaps all the time. I do know that he is a primarily defensive lineman. I believe. Let me double check that. Yeah, Chris is a defensive end. I was gonna say defensive tackle for a second, but he's a defensive end. So I mean, if we're going by that, I don't know. I mean, I would maybe expect him to stay on the defensive side of the line because that's what he knows. But again, a lot of these guys, you know, play wherever they have to play in high school. I haven't seen Chris's footage, and I'm sure at some point in high school, I mean, he's an athlete. He's probably played all kinds of positions. I imagine he's probably been on the offensive line. So I can't say definitively, Chris. And again, he's a 2019 kid, still a couple years out. So it is, Justin, it is very early to even determine that. This one comes from Sarah, at Sarah Altamimi. And she wants to know, any updates on the quarterback competition? And we go over this all the time, right? I think we probably talk about the quarterback competition on this podcast more than anything. So I'm gonna make it short and sweet. Updates on the quarterback competition. Sarah, I appreciate the question. The quarterback is Wilton Spate. It will be Wilton Spate. He will start against Florida. And barring any massive collapse or injury, he will continue to be Michigan's quarterback throughout the season. Angelique, my favorite. She replies, yeah, I'm with Sarah. Update. Well, Angelique, I thought that you were going to, I replied to you, I thought you were going to tell everybody that you were this year, that you were starting at quarterback this year. I know the race came down to you and Michael Sessa. That was purely confidential information. Nobody was supposed to know. But I expect, actually, Angelique to start at Florida, against Florida. I'm sorry. But in all seriousness, Wilton Spate, Sarah. Well, it's Wilton's job, and I believe that Brandon Peters would just have to be unbelievable to overthrow Wilton. So, Go Blue 519 again at CG Smith 17. Thoughts on Devontae Dobbs? Will UM's lack of communication push him to one of their rivals? Are they in on better O line prospects? Again, CG Smith, that's probably a better question for the experts, the guys who cover recruiting every single moment of the day. You know, Steve Lorenz, those guys who are doing the crystal balls, that sort of thing. I do know that it's coming down to Devontae's out of Belleville. I do know that it's coming down to Ohio State and Michigan. He's number one ranked kid in our state, in Michigan. He's one of the top rated recruits in his class, I believe. I want to say he's a top 10 prospect in the nation overall. He's number 13, so he's the number one offensive tackle in the nation. He's ranked 5-star, and he's also, I did not mute my speaker, sorry, he is also the number one prospect in the state of Michigan. And again, according to 247, they have it 50-50 crystal ball predictions. There's only six of them though, 50% Ohio State, 50% Michigan. I'd also like to note, though, that Alabama, Clemson, Michigan State, Ohio State are listed as he has as schools that he has warm interest in them. So I would go 50-50 Ohio State. I mean, I remember, Mike Weber, when he committed to Michigan, I honestly thought it was down to Michigan and Michigan State for Mike Weber at one point. I think Michigan State was in contention for a brief moment. And then it appeared, you know, okay, this is going to go Michigan, Ohio State. I did not foresee, but again, the circumstances, and then he goes to Ohio State. So I thought, with my best guess with Devontae would be he's the number one recruit in the state. I think that Jim Harbaugh is taking, you know, pretty good ownership of the state. Getting some questions, Justin Green, Kane or Couch? I have heard about Kane, and I'll tell you about Kane, Noah Kane, for those who don't know, and I'm going to pull up his profile here, because he goes to IMG, and I was talking with Charles Thomas, and Charles was telling me that Noah was in Ann Arbor during the visit too. So I think that Noah Kane probably is a strong option for Michigan. I think that he, and again, I'm not directly connected to Noah. I don't know exactly what he's thinking. I don't talk to his coaches or anything, but as far as the relationship with Charles goes, I know that they're good friends. I know that they were up here on the same weekend. So my best guess would be that Noah Kane is probably a pretty good. And again, he's a 2019 kid, 5-star running back out of IMG in Bradenton, Florida. Warm interest in Michigan. So I think Noah is probably a guy that Michigan is very much capable of landing. And that came from Justin on YouTube. Justin goes, he'll go YouTube, he'll go Twitter. I encourage all you guys, if you're on YouTube, go ahead and ask questions. They appear fast, so I don't always catch them, so don't be afraid. I'm trying to look closer at the screen right now. So basically, just type them in as much as you can. He spent 4 days in Ann Arbor, Justin Green said. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I talked with Charles Thomas about that visit at length. And actually, I wrote about it on FanRack Sports. Charles was telling me how Don Brown took him into the film room, and they sat there for like an hour and a half and broke down film. And Charles was really impressed. So we didn't really talk about Noah a whole lot, but he did tell me that Noah enjoyed the visit. So that I'll go on that. Go Blue, I hope I answered your question there, at CGSmith17. And then we have some other, we'll get more into recruiting, and again, as it gets closer, and I guess what I can do as well is tweet out, or you guys will know when I tweet out articles and stuff, the recruits that I write about are the ones that I probably have pretty good information on. As far as the rest of those guys go, again, Sam Webb of Scout, Steve Lorenz of 247 Sports, those guys are directly connected to a lot of those recruits. And I'm sorry, I just missed those questions here. So we're going to go on to, these are other questions and comments. Why is Michigan's recruiting down this year? TJ Bellware, I mean, this is a subjective viewpoint, I think. I mean, fans, if Michigan's not landing the top kid every single week, if there's not major recruiting news, I don't think the Michigan's recruiting is down. I mean, right now they have the number five ranked class in the country. Yeah, there's only four guys in it for 2019. They have 15 commits right now, third best for 2018, and third best in the Big Ten. I mean, I wouldn't say that that's necessarily down. Kennedy Carmen, something Michigan doing so well in the state of Georgia. I do know a lot about this. They like Georgia. Georgia has the type of athletic skill players that Michigan likes. Michigan just has good success. I mean, you go down there, you think of the satellite camps in Alabama down south and things like that. There's a lot of exposure. Micah, I'm sorry, I just missed that one. That was a long one. But Georgia is a pipeline state for Michigan, absolutely. New Jersey, obviously, is a pipeline state for Michigan. I mean, Ohio has been and will continue to be very good to Michigan football. So as far as the luck in Georgia, I think, and I'll say this, I'll reference a conversation that I had with a friend. He was a longtime high school coach down south in the state of Florida. He knows all these coaches. He knows all about the recruiting. I referenced this in the last podcast. And he told me that a lot of these kids, and I'm not going to sit here and crap on the SEC, but I mean, we all hear the stories. We all hear kids talking about it, some of these coaches, and they're uncomfortable. A lot of these kids are more comfortable being away from that SEC-ish type of environment, if you know what I mean. A lot of these kids don't want all of that attention and distraction and everything that else goes with it. So I'll leave it at that. I think there are a lot of guys down south in Georgia and Florida, Alabama. Michael, wondering with Drew Singleton, Jordan Anthony, something about Drew at special teams, I believe. Sean McClue, what's up with Kareem Walker? Shot at playing time. I've talked about Kareem a lot. Kareem, last year, the redshirt, due to academic issues. This year, he's academically clear. I asked Jim Harbaugh about that in Chicago. Jim gave me a rundown of the pecking order of running backs. And again, I reference this, I think, almost all the time, but I know this is a question you guys want to know. Chris, Karan, Ty Isaac, and that was a surprise to me because I thought Kareem would be in the top three, then Kareem. But Harbaugh used the term, I believe, probably license and ability, used it with other guys, and I'm sure he would still reference Kareem as saying he has a license and the ability to be good. Kareem's got to prove himself in training camp, basically, and that's about it. Biggest getting 18 on both sides of the ball, DC Cookster wants to know. So far, I don't know if they're not done, but I do like Emil Ikior, and I do have a lot of direct knowledge about Ikior because my favorite teacher, I went to Broad Ripple for part of my senior year in Indianapolis, and Emil goes to Cathedral, which is in Indianapolis. My favorite teacher of all time, Mr. Akers, if he's watching, he actually told me to be a sports writer as he was kicking me out of his class for talking about sports. So Mr. Akers has given me the lowdown on Emil for about the past 2.5 years, and he told me right from the start, he's very well connected with Indianapolis area high school football coaches, and he told me right from the start, Emil's going to Michigan. And if you've seen those videos, Emil's scrappy. I think he's the biggest get defensive side of the ball. I mean, 2018, I mean, Joe Milton, I would say, I mean, quarterback, Joe's got a hell of an arm. I know he had some accuracy issues, but I mean, we haven't even, Joe Milton hasn't even shown the best of his high school career yet. So, I mean, let's give him some time there. But at the same time, I do think Emil probably just best get overall of this class, but I would look at Joe Milton as well. Going on to other questions again. I saw a couple pop up, guys. Just put them up there. I will read them as best that I can. I try to get to them all. So let's see. Going to the next question. Angelique's reply. Sarah asked for you, waiting long with her for your answer. Angelique, you're the quarterback. Trevor at Michigan_1974. Trevor's a longtime listener, follower, reader. He wants to know, who are the fastest players in the team this year? And two, hearing Cole's only guy with a shot when Gary is lined up across from the left tackle. And I'm going to talk about Rashawn Gary because I got asked a really good question about sack production. So, fastest players on the team this year, DPJ, as far as I know, in spring, and I know that they're running 40 soon. They haven't given us the time, so I'll probably ask about those. DPJ ran a 4.41. I know Eddie McDoom is close to that, too. Eddie was talking about a lot of fast guys on the team. Have you heard anything, Isaac Taylor Stewart, El Cunando? No, I have not. Last I knew, it was warm interest. And Isaac Taylor Stewart, for those of you guys who don't know, I'll pull that up real quick. He is a 2018 corner, 6'287 pounds, 4-star, warm interest. He's got 49 offers, according to 247 Sports. So, but they say he has warm interest. So that's about as much as I know. And again, I want to let you guys know, unless I specifically am writing about a recruit or specifically tweeting about a recruit, I mean, I've had contact with some guys like Dax Hill, Charles Thomas, Jacob Isaiah, who's big on Michigan State, those kind of guys. I get direct knowledge from those guys. But as far as a lot of these other recruits are concerned, again, Sam Webb at Scout is probably a guy who's got that information. Steve Lorenz at 247 Sports, he's a recruiting expert. Tom Van Heren, ESPN, he's a recruiting expert. And again, I mentioned earlier, Michigan man Ray, he does a podcast, Ray Reeves. Ray's got some pretty good recruiting connections too. So those are guys, if you're looking for recruiting news, if they are on it, that it's probably legitimate. Justin Green, Stephen Heron Jr. impressions. Justin, I haven't got a chance to watch his. I haven't had a chance to watch his film yet, so I can't definitively say. I watched a little bit on Huddle, so I mean, of course, liked it, but I don't have anything specific that I can break down in that regard. So, back to Trevor's question: who are the fastest player in the team this year? I think it's Donovan Peoples-Jones and probably Eddie McDoom. Two, hearing Cole's only guy with a shot when Gary is lined up across from the left tackle. Well, they are missing three all Big Ten starters. Mason Cole is, without a doubt, one of the best offensive linemen in the country. So I imagine that, I don't think that's a, and Trevor, you weren't asking if this is a bad sign, but I don't know if it's necessarily a bad sign if your best offensive lineman is the only guy who can get with Rashawn Gary. Because there's probably, 9 out of 10 guys can't get with Rashawn. Kennedy, I'm sorry, just missed that question. Put it up there again. I'll try to get to it. I have a couple more, I think, here. Go at CGSmith17, GoBlue519 wants to know again. Rumors about the defense being faster and more athletic. Will Michigan improve upon its sack total of 46 in 2016? This is the question I've been waiting for. So thank you, CG Smith. I really like this one. The defense being faster and more athletic, I don't know if that's a rumor. I think that might be actually true. Darkman, 1212, any news, Carlo Kemp and Ron Johnson? Nothing on Ron, Darkman, but Carlo Kemp, I expect Carlo to be too deep in that defensive line. How many do we think, talking Kennedy, I think 2018 class, probably about 21 or 22 is what I'm hearing. I think that's what you're asking there. It faded away. Darkman, your question. Carlo Kemp, I think he's too deep defensive line. So yeah, watch out for him. And again, I think watch out for guys like Michael Dwumfor. I think Lawrence Marshall is probably going to do something this year. I think it's Lawrence's time. I'm trying to think of some other guy. I mean, Quiddy Pay, I've referenced him a lot. Luigi Villain. TJ Bellware, broad question. Do you think this team is overall more or less talented than the 2015 team? This year's team, the 2017 team compared to the 2015 team? Well, going sight unseen on the 2017 team, I mean, that 2015 team was pretty solid. Obviously, it kicked up into higher gear. 2016. That's a difficult one, TJ. I'll say that. It's a difficult one. Paul, what does Michigan have to do to have a successful year? Win 10 games, beat Ohio State. You said it, Paul. Win the Big Ten. Do you think they may go three deep on the D-line? Base 7-7-6-9. Yeah, I mean, they were 8-10. They've been 10 deep for, what, 3 years? 4 years under Greg Madison? Yeah, I think they'll go 8-10 deep easily. So I mean, 3 deep, and let's go 4 defensive linemen, 12. Okay, maybe not 3 deep. Maybe 10.5 deep or 2.5 deep. They'll have 10 guys, I think, that are regulars. I think that's a fair number. Okay, I want to get to the sack question, guys. Hold on. Let's hold on those YouTube questions, because this is a really good one, like I said, from CG Smith. And I mentioned too, someone else asked, if you look at who's gone, let's look at who's gone. Last year, Michigan, 46 sacks, 3.54 sacks per game. They had the third most per volume in the country. The only two teams that have more sacks, or fourth most rather, the only teams that had more sacks than Michigan last year were Alabama had 54, Florida State had 51, Clemson had 49, Michigan with 46 sacks. So again, that's 3.54 per game. And 296 sack yards. That's pretty impressive. That's almost 3 football fields worth of sack yardage. So that's if you want to talk about giving your a defense dominating a game and you know, creating really good field position, Michigan did that throughout last year. So with that said, then let's go to the Michigan. I'm looking at their 13 game totals last year, and Taco Charlton listed at 9.5 sacks. You'll see 9.5, 10 sometimes. Who's a Kennedy Cameron, better D-line, Michigan or Ohio State? I don't know. Ask Greg Schiano. He says better than his Ohio State's D-line is better than his Buccaneers, and I don't know if Michigan's D-line is better than an NFL team, so I'm going to just say Ohio State, just connecting those dots, Kennedy. Let's see here. But head-to-head comparison as far as NFL, that'd be something I'd sit down and research. Kevin Grulich, Ohio State game's on my birthday, so it could either be a good birthday or a bad one. Kevin Grulich, I agree, and happy early birthday. Maybe Michigan gives you a win. It is in Ann Arbor, so we'll see about that. And again, last year, Michigan, perfect position to beat the Buckeyes, and just did not happen. So back to the sack thing, though. Last year, Taco had 9.5 sacks. Chris Wormley had 6 sacks. Ryan Glasgow had 4 sacks. So that's almost 20 right there. And let's see, Stribling had 1. Godin had 1. Josh Metellus, he's returning, had 1. So there's not a ton of sacks that are gone. Look, the guys that are gone, 4.5 from Ben Gedeon, 4 from Jabril, and then obviously Taco and Chris, the big ones there. But who's returning? Mo Hurst had 5 last year. Rashawn had 1 last year. Rashawn's due. He's going to get some. And again, look who Rashawn was playing behind and playing alongside. So it's not out of the realm of possibility this year to think that Rashawn is a guy who's going to have 6-8. It's not out of the realm of the possibility to think that Mo Hurst, he had 5 last year. I mean, he might be Michigan sack leader. He might be a 8-9-10 sack guy. I expect somebody, you know, one of the defensive backs, they'll get one. I mean, linebacker wise, I mean, Mike McCray, again, last year, 4.5 sacks. I mean, this might be, with Mike being the leader of the linebacking corps, I mean, this might be a year where he gets at least that. So, I mean, 46, I don't know, but I mean, I think it'd probably be fair to project 40 or so. The one player we missed most on defense, Cameron. Ooh, that's a good one. Taco Charlton comes to mind. Jordan Lewis comes to mind too, because if you look at the secondary right now, they're young. They're, you know, we've heard you guys keep hearing this, they're young, they're talented, they're athletic, but, I mean, you're missing Jordan Lewis, one-on-one expert, press coverage, love press coverage, incredibly athletic, Wisconsin interception. I remember when he went against Aaron Burbridge against Michigan State in 2015. That was one of the best one-on-one corner wide receiver battles that I've seen in a long time. So I think Jordan. I still miss Andrew Pearson Thompson. I still miss Jeremy Clark. They do too. Like Jeremy was a guy who didn't get talked about enough. And because Jeremy wasn't a big talker. And I'm not saying that other guys are big talkers. I'm saying that Jeremy wasn't, you know, Jeremy was very quiet almost, you know, and you get the feeling that he didn't really like talking about himself. And that's fine. A lot of guys don't. But Lewis wasn't playing for the first few games last year. Base, that's true. That is true. He had that, I forgot what they call it, abdominal strain. Dark man, Aubrey Solomon and Rashawn Gary will be a deadly combination in the next 2 years. I think so. And, I mean, put me with Rashawn. Whoever's playing with Rashawn is going to benefit. Put it that way. But, yeah, back to the sack thing. 46 sacks, I mean, I don't know, that's a lot. That's third most in the nation. Again, 3.54 per game. But, I mean, I think Michigan's got guys who are going to approach, like I said. I wouldn't be surprised if Mo Hurst is a guy, you know, 8, 9, 10 sacks. I wouldn't be surprised to see Mike McCray get 5 or 6. I mean, Devin Bush is probably going to get a couple. Pulv, if you want Michigan. Oh, that one, and that was a long one, Pulv. I'm sorry, can you resubmit that one? That was a big blurb. That took up a whole side of the screen. I'll wait for it, Paul. You're next. I hope I covered the sack question, CG Smith. If not, tweet me. While I'm waiting for Paul, real quick from Andrew Burris, Michigan vs. Nation, at Andrew Burris. Can you talk about Eddie McDoom? Obviously very explosive, but can he be more of a wide receiving threat? Yes. Yes and yes. Explosive, I agree. Can he be more of a wide receiving threat? Yes. Slot. I think he's a slot guy. And he's really fast. And real quick, while I'm waiting for Paul, Maurice Ayotte at Ayotte_Molot9. Best guess at top four receivers. Tariq, DPJ, Kakoa, Nate Shonley. And I'm not even kidding. If you want to see Michigan's D-line this year, go watch first half, Michigan State Chase. It just doesn't stay up long enough, Paul, for me to read it. Played together a lot. Hurst was in backfield every play. So Chase and Mo. Yeah, Chase, Hurst, Mo, Monet. Yeah, I mean, I think I'm getting the gist of what you're saying. I'm trying to. These comments just disappear. They should. How do you see Joe Milton, Fish, MIC, Brooke? How do you see Joe Milton fitting into Michigan's system? Well, with Pat Hamilton, I imagine they're going to go aerial a little bit more. Joe Milton's got a rocket arm. Again, the accuracy, I think, is something that he's probably going to want to sharpen up on. But I remember reading something from Mark Snyder, formerly the Detroit Free Press, and Mark was talking about him, and Joe was telling him, 70-yard throws are no problem for him. I mean, and no problem. And when you could say it with that much confidence, and I've seen his highlight tapes. I mean, he's athletic. He's got an arm. It's just, again, it's that. How does he fit in the system? I mean, I think a guy like Joe probably gives him a little bit of a more spreadier feel. I mean, if you look at like a, you know, as opposed to like a Brandon Peters. And I know that Joe's classified as a pro style quarterback, 6'4" and a half, 222 pounds, but Joe's pretty athletic. I mean, Joe's a guy who can get around and run. And Joe, I mean, and this is not a direct head comparison, but I mean, Wilton Spate is a pro style quarterback, but Wilton's pretty mobile too. So, and Brandon's got wheels, but I mean, when I look at Joe, I see a little bit more mobility. I see a little bit more run and gun. He's got a really good arm. So, but again, he's not even at Michigan yet. So who knows what they'll ask him to do? Kevin Grulich, I believe he will rise in recruiting rankings with a good senior year. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And Kennedy, I'm sorry, I did not see that one. I think I have a couple more questions. Maurice, hopefully, and I'll give you a top five too, because I think Waze is going to be in there. So I think it's DPJ, no certain order, DPJ, Tariq, Mo Waze, Kakoa, Nate Shonley. Let's throw Eddie McDoom in there as a 6-2. But I mean, we've been hearing a lot about Nate Shonley. We really have. And it's not even so much specifics it's more or less just getting mentioned. And like I said, he's a second year guy, he's a walk on. And either they're just like really trying to pump him up, and I don't think that that's really Michigan style. I think they're really citing a guy who's working his ass off, and who's gonna be it. Maybe Nate Shanley is backing up Eddie. Maybe he and Eddie McDoom are the slot guys. So I'm not quite clear yet on the wide receiver order. I'm kind of have a little bit of questions, but I feel like I have a good idea of, you know. Like I just didn't rattled off some names. I'm scared to throw a wide receiver out there against Florida if I couldn't even remember how to say his name. TJ Bellaire. What did I miss? Did I mispronounce a name? Shanley? Is it Shonley? I don't know. Is that what you mean, TJ? Tell me how to pronounce it. Sometimes I do mess up names, and I apologize. Okay, I think that is all the questions here. Dante Burch actually had a good comment. 16 and a half of the 46 sacks came from players who were on the 2017 roster, and only one of them was a starter. I think they'll be fine. Dante, that's an excellent point. You pronounced it right. I just missed it. Tell me one more time, TJ. We're going on 32 minutes here. I want to wrap up a little bit. And there'll be an availability tonight, so there'll be new stuff. Video from tonight. There'll be new content, you know, like I said, on my YouTube channel. Have an article ready to go for tomorrow morning on FanRag Sports, FanRagSports.com. Follow us on Twitter at @FanRag_U, @FanRagSports. TJ Bellaire, I'm waiting for your comment. I can't. You gotta end it on a good note, right? It's like batting practice. Gotta end it on a good note. I can't end the show not knowing exactly what you meant. It's going to eat at me all day. Don't leave me hanging. Okay, why TJ is leaving me hanging. Okay, hold on. No, you pronounced it right, but I couldn't remember. I just couldn't remember how to say his name when I saw it. Oh, okay. Oh, okay, I got you, TJ. I've heard it Shonley and Shonley. I'll have to ask Nate personally. It's one of those Canal or Kennel kind of deals, you know what I mean? Depends on what emphasis. And I think Tyree cleared it up with us last year. It's Kennel. Or maybe did I forget? It's not. I don't believe it's Kennel. I think it's Tyree Kennel. I think he prefers Kennel. So, everybody, I believe that's it. I want to thank everyone for watching the stream. Again, a lot of live viewers. I appreciate all the questions on Twitter. Again, this show, I try to center it around your guys' questions. Talk about what you guys want to talk about. I'm not going to BS you and tell you that I know something if I don't know it. So we'll leave it at that, I guess. I want to thank Tim and Keith at Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor. Again, this fall we will have, real quick, MIC Brooke, what's your take on Amari Samuels? Redshirt. Chris Smith, I appreciate it. Later, Biggs. Later, Chris, I appreciate it. Thanks for watching. Again, I want to thank Tim and Keith at Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor. I'll be giving away some free food. They've given me the green light, so I want to put some steak sandwiches, chicken wings, waffle fries, hamburgers, shakes, everything that they have available on their menu. I want to put them in your hands, and then you guys put them in your stomach. So we'll run a trivia contest, so maybe shirt giveaways. They gave me one up there. I like it. Athletic gray goes with everything. It's a multi-purpose shirt. And again, you know, tremendous support. I have some podcasts from there, all kinds of stuff. So go to Mr. Spots, 808 State Street in Ann Arbor. Tell them that I sent you, and have a good meal. So I'm going to eat Mr. Spots actually tonight before tonight's availability. So Tim, Keith, if you're watching, 10-inch regular Philly mushrooms, yellow peppers, works. I'll be there. We'll sit down. We'll talk some football. Those guys are always great for conversation. So, again, follow me on Twitter, @AdamBiggers81. I'm the Michigan football beat writer for FanRag Sports, @FanRag_U, @FanRagSports. Have a great Friday, and I'll probably do a podcast this weekend if you guys give me some questions. So I'm sure we'll do this again very soon. Thanks for all the questions. Thanks, Kennedy. I appreciate it. Chris, thanks, everybody, for watching. Had a great time. You guys have a good Friday.